Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
The Apostle Paul was very concerned with the church and their awareness of satanic plans. Later we'll look at this in more depth. This is Ephesians chapter 6, 11 through 13. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against what? Schemes of the devil. Paul goes on to say, we wrestle not against people, flesh and blood. We wrestle against what? We wrestle against these rulers and authorities and cosmic powers of the present darkness. So as I talk about the Jezebel spirit, recognize I'm talking about a spirit that, for whatever reason, seems to utilize women more than it utilizes men. It's not exclusive, but it's like the female Antichrist. This figure pops up at various different times in the Bible. We'll look at those times. But one of the things you need to know about this spirit is that it does not like to cohabitate with men. Matter of fact, the name Jezebel means a non-cohabitive person, or she's also not big into having a husband. This spirit wants to upset the order of things. Have you noticed that there's sort of an anti-man thing going on in society today? And much of it is well-deserved because men have behaved very badly, especially men with power. And there is definitely an exposure going on that is good of men and their abuse of power and position. But underneath it all, there can be this spirit that existed since the beginning that desires to bring down men. Like I said, it doesn't want to cohabitate with men, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. It doesn't want to be husband. Husband is a biblical word that means two people coming together with a man in a certain position and a woman in another position. It doesn't like that. How many people know that we're called to love the opposite sex? Do you know that? I love women. Always have. I love women more than men. That's why I married a woman and not a man. That's why I choose me, the person who loves my solitude. I chose to have a woman in my house continually and constantly. Why? Because there is a love for a woman. Men are called to love women, to cherish women, to desire women, to want to cohabitate with them, to want to... By the way, have you ever seen a man totally alone? When God said it's not good for man to be alone, he has seen man alone. When my wife goes away, it's not uncommon to find me on the couch at 3 o'clock in the morning with Doritos all over my chest and a box of pizza sitting next to me. My wife is shaking her head. She knows that. I brought a woman into my house for wisdom because I lack wisdom greatly. The two sexes are called to recognize the weaknesses in each sex and to deeply desire the counterpart. That is God's plan. I'll take woman out of Adam, then Adam will always be looking for this other part of him that he needs. The woman needs the man needs the woman. That's the idea. This spirit wants to destroy that. It wants to destroy the idea of cohabitating men and women. It wants to make sure that there is no husbands involved, that husbands can have this position of headship. There are all these spirits that are at work in the world around us. Paul says, listen, you're not wrestling against people. This is a spiritual thing. There's a spirit of Antichrist. In the book of Revelations, we're told specifically that the church would be attacked by a Jezebel spirit. Notice what it says here. Speaking to the church, I have this against you. You do what? You tolerate the woman Jezebel. She calls herself a prophetess. She is teaching. She is seducing. Let me go back here. I think I skipped over that. She practices sexual immorality. This isn't so much a person as it was a spirit that would come in and attack the church. We see it over and over again, this counterpart to the Antichrist, who is a male figure, this Jezebel, has another name. Here she's explained this way. The Spirit of the Lord, this is Revelation 17. The Lord carried me away into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, and she was filled with blasphemous names. She had seven heads and horns. This female figure is going to take authority. And she has a purpose. Listen what this purpose is. Let me go back one. On her forehead was written this name, Babylon the Great. And this is interesting. Babylon is very important. You need to know what Babylon means. She is a mother of the prostitutes. And what she wants, listen, this woman was drunk with what? The blood of the saints. She has one desire, and that is the destruction of the saints of God. She wants to take down the church. She wants to take down the leadership in the church. Babylon, when it's used figuratively, and most of the time in the book of Revelation it's figurative, it is a figurative meaning. This is taken from Unger's Bible Dictionary, one of the best Bible dictionaries I think anywhere on the planet. It talks about the figurative meaning that it refers to the illustration of confusion in which the whole social order of the world has fallen under Gentile world domination. In other words, the word of God is totally rejected, and now men are going to do what's right in their own eyes. And one of the primary things is divine order is going to be usurped. Divine order, which is spoken of in the book of Isaiah 11, we'll look at that in just a second, but divine government, all of this will be dismissed. And as it goes on to say here, Babel is another way of saying that anything other than God's sovereign government over the planet is considered to be Babel. Remember the Tower of Babel? Men wanted to do something great. Men wanted to build their own kingdom. God said, no, you're united. I'm going to tear it all down. I'm going to give diversity. And by the way, for people that have a problem with diversity, never have a problem with diversity. Never have a problem with other races or nationalities or other groups coming together, because that is really God's plan to keep man from uniting in evil. What happens when men get totally united? You have Nazi Germany, right? When a whole nation is against every other nation, when a whole group of people is just all about who they are, the Aryans, that's completely demonic. Where you see diversity, never get upset with diversity. Diversity is God's plan, because God doesn't want everybody to agree. So the more diversity you have, the lack of agreement you have, which, believe it or not, curtails evil. You ever notice how you have two groups that are sometimes sided together and then sometimes they're against each other? That's okay. That's God's way of monitoring this. But what does it mean that God is against, God is against the spirit, which the spirit is against this? Let me say what it's against. It's against God's ruling, and here's how God wants to rule. This is the way God wants to rule in the church. This is the way God wants to rule in the kingdoms of this world, which will never happen until the millennium. But here it is. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, meaning Jesus, but it rests upon the church. A spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. This is what the church has to operate in. You notice the Apostle Paul prayed for this. He almost took it word for word out of Isaiah 13. He says, I'm praying for you that you will have a what? A spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. God's wisdom is higher than ours. God's knowledge is higher than ours. Unless you pray for this, you don't get this. You need to have a heart that has been enlightened by the Spirit. Go back to Isaiah. Listen to what Isaiah says here. The spirit of wisdom and understanding and the counsel will do this. Listen. When this comes into the church, we will delight in one thing and one thing only. We will fear the Lord. See, I don't care if there's a million people here or two people here. What I care about is my Heavenly Father, who is watching me, saying, son, say what I want you to say. Do what I want you to do. You're here to please me, not to please men. I fear disobeying my Heavenly Father. I don't fear whether man likes me or don't like me. Doesn't matter. Listen, here's the way we judge when the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. Listen to this. You shall not judge by what his eyes see. We don't judge by what we see. What we see can be very deceptive. We do not decide disputes by what we hear. what we're hearing can be very, very deceptive. We have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Therefore, when we pray, God says this, and we follow this. The spirit that is in this world, the spirit of the Antichrist, which has a female counterpart, which is the spirit of Jezebel, wants to attack the ones who have the spirit of counsel upon them, the spirit of God upon them, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, because this is the only thing that they fear, because it's the only thing that will defeat them. They fear the spirit of Elijah. They fear God's order, because when things are in order, things begin to unfold that are beautiful and perfect. By the way, for women who are a little uncomfortable right now, sitting there going, oh, he's going to attack women. He's going to attack strong women. He's going to attack women. No, I'm not. I'm going to attack a spirit that is completely contrary to God. The Proverbs 31 woman, if it sat next to a Jezebel woman, would destroy that spirit. The woman that God wants is so powerful, is so strong that in many ways, and I'm going to say this, she is superior to man. And I say that with a little bit of fear and trepidation because we're all equal. But when I read this Proverbs 31 woman, I'm going, this woman, God forbid a Jezebel spirit gets in her way. She will take the Jezebel spirit down. Listen, here she is. She is an excellent wife. She's not afraid of being husband. She's not afraid of having a man. She has become a precious jewel. Listen, she does good to the man, not harm, all the days of her life. She is looking to build her husband up, encourage her husband. But listen to her strengths. Listen, she considers a field and she buys it. Where does she get the money? She's got money. She's buying stuff. She's independent. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. Wow. She's got a clothing company. She's an entrepreneur. She's all of those things that you go, wow. Buying fields, selling merchandise. This is her. Listen, she dresses herself with strength. She's strong. Never think that God doesn't want women to be strong. He wants them to be incredibly strong. She's charitable. She opens up her hands to the poor. She reaches out to the needy. When she opens her mouth, what comes out is what I desire most in a woman, and that is wisdom. When she opens her mouth, she's always wise. When she teaches, she does it with kindness on her tongue. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband praises her. And by the way, in many ways, my wife is this Proverbs 31 woman. I can compliment her. She would back down from that. But the Jezebel spirit is the complete opposite. It is the counterfeit of the strong biblical woman. It doesn't really want to be strong on its own. It really wants to pull something down. It doesn't want to build up. It wants to pull down. It doesn't want to go along with order. It wants to bring chaos. I'm going to give you a couple examples of this. How many people are familiar with the Shakers? Remember the Shakers? Offshoot of the Quakers? Remember I used this scripture about in Genesis, the Bible talks that when Eve fell, this was one of the things that she would always have to wrestle with in her life. That she would always have a desire to control her husband, but he would always be given the spiritual rule over her, and she would hate that. So one of the ways of dealing with this is simply to reject marriage. I reject marriage. And so the Shakers, who settled here in Pennsylvania and also in New York. And matter of fact, we toured one of their communities. They make really good furniture. Anybody have any Shaker furniture? Well, the Shakers had a lot of interesting beliefs that came from the Holy Spirit. Maybe initially they did. But they worshipped and they worshipped God in the Spirit. And the Spirit would shake them. And they believed what the Spirit was shaking out of them was their sexual desires. And so as they were getting shook, one of the women came forth and she became the leader of an offshoot of the Shakers. And people began to follow her and they actually began to lift her up and believe that she was the embodiment of the perfection of God in female form. Now, what I want to say about this is this. She was not a bad woman. She was not an evil woman. But she was a deceived woman because she eventually went into a very bad place. Her name was Mother Anne. And she began to say this. Celibacy and the confession of sins were essential for salvation. We would say, yes, confess your sins. You need to confess your sins. But celibacy? Do you see what she's doing? She's rejecting that role of a woman with a man. Remember, this was a direct contradiction to the Word of God, and this is what, when the Jezebel spirit gets in there, what it wants to destroy is the authority of the Word. It doesn't really want to, it does destroy man or leadership, but it really wants to destroy the authority of the Word. Remember, this is what it says, this is Paul and Timothy. Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived. She became the transgressor, yet she will be saved through childbearing. She will be saved by going back into her place as a woman, and by the way, women completely revolt against this because it sounds so childbearing, really? But there's faith and love and holiness and self-control, all of those things. But notice childbearing is important to a woman. So when Mother Anne came out and said no, she began to preach that sinlessness could be avoided only by treating men and women equally. She also began to keep them separate. Remember the cohabitation. She wanted them separate. She believed this would lead them to be able to be more pure and resist temptation. Whatever happened to Mother Anne and the Shakers? Well, guess what? If you don't promote marriage, you don't promote children, you have very few converts, you have no future. This whole movement died a natural death. Thank God. Misled teaching. But that is an example of a woman who was strong, spiritual, but somehow was vulnerable. And when this came in, it was like, what were you thinking? She wasn't. Okay? So that is the more sedate part of the Jezebel spirit. This one, the unhusband, this is where it gets really, really bad. They don't want a man to be a man. They don't like the way a man is supposed to relate to a woman. And they want to break that connection. Remember what I said here, that this Babel spirit wants to bring confusion into the world and it wants to destroy the order that God has. This is the idea. I want to destroy. I want to bring confusion. In other words, if God says do it this way, we're going to do it the opposite. As a matter of fact, the spirit of the Antichrist, he gets the greatest delight by looking at a scripture saying, okay, God wants this. Let's do the opposite. God wants bishops to be the husbands of one wife. Well, let's talk about celibacy for bishops. No. Do you understand what I'm saying here? What I'm going to say next, again, I pray that you have a Proverbs 31 spirit and not a Jezebel spirit, because if you have a Jezebel spirit, these scriptures will really affect you negatively. But that's good. It's the Apostle Paul. Man was not made from a woman, but a woman from a man. Neither was man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. The wife, this is why the wife ought to have a symbol of authority over her head. And then it says this, because of the angels. Remember that the woman was to cover her head. It was a symbol that she had a covering over her, which was her husband. Therefore, she could prophesy with her head covered, meaning that she was in her proper position spiritually. I know this preaches like, you know, contrary to where we see our society going. But here's the reason why. What did angels do? Angels did not stay in their position of authority, but they left their proper dwelling. God created a man to do one thing, a woman to do another thing. When a woman begins to usurp what a man should be doing, the result is this. It's the same thing. Remember Lucifer? He wanted to ascend. He wanted to be like God. Even though he had a position of authority, he wanted a higher position of authority. So when the Bible talks about a wife submitting to her husband as the church submits to Christ, a woman goes, I don't want to submit to my husband, and I'm certainly not going to submit to my husband the way the church is submitting to Christ. This is where it begins to go wrong. The Jezebel spirit, listen, wants control over their spouse. They want control over the church. They want control over co-workers. They want control over everything. And again, do not look at this as a person. Look at this as a vulnerable person who has allowed a spirit. The same way we allow the Holy Spirit to dominate us, this person is being dominated by an evil spirit. Some people have said, and if you go and research the Jezebel spirit, I've been reluctant to talk about it or preach on it, even though I've seen it firsthand. But others who have talked about it says, this evil spirit is responsible not only for tearing down churches and pastors and different ministries, it is also responsible for breaking up marriages, friendship, companies, and even to the point of cold blood and murder and suicide. How many of you watch Dateline? I was watching Dateline the other night, and there was a Jezebel spirit, and this woman was behind getting her husband to commit this horrible act, and then when he botched up the murder, she was caught on tape saying, that stupid idiot, he can't even do anything right. He says, if that was me, I would have cut off her fingers, cut off her head, and burned the house down. That's the Jezebel spirit. The Jezebel spirit is always seeking a weaker vessel to control. And this spirit, unlike the non-cohabitating spirit, she is looking for a man. She wants a man. She wants to find a man that she can control. And that she's always targeting leadership. Again, her idea is, I will target leadership, and whether it's conscious or unconscious, I will bring leadership down. We see the spirit numerous times in the Bible. The most obvious case is Jezebel and Elijah. We can also see it with Potiphar's wife and Joseph. And finally, we see it in the New Testament, which almost a direct mirror to the Old Testament, with Herodias, who was also the wife of a king who wanted John the Baptist's head on a platter, and John the Baptist was just like Elijah. So their mode of operation, the scheme of the devil, is they marry power. Then, behind the scenes, through weak leadership, they begin to manipulate. And then they begin to attack prophetic leaders, and then they begin using manipulation and deceit and even sexuality to then destroy the kingdom of God. And whether they're conscious of this or not conscious of this, it happens. How many people have heard this? This is the Jezebel spirit. When you offend it, when you speak against it, you will see fury like you've never seen before. That's why she constantly attacked, especially prophetic voices. There's a rejection of male authority. Like I said before, there's the sincerely misled part, and then there's this part, which is totally demonic. So let me look at the Jezebel spirit in the Old Testament, and then we'll close. Because I want you to see, remember I said Paul in Ephesians, he wants to expose the enemy. He wants to expose how the enemy works. Remember the book of Revelation, the church tolerated Jezebel, the Jezebel spirit. We in this church do not tolerate Jezebel spirits. We don't tolerate spirit of Antichrist or any male dominating spirit either. Listen, and by the way, I've seen male Jezebels. So do not think that the Jezebel spirit just works with women. I've seen it in men too. So here's the Jezebel spirit. Ahab, who was a wimpy king, who was also a king in northern Israel, was married to Jezebel. He tells Jezebel about what Elijah did. Remember what Elijah did on Mount Carmel? He took all the prophets and he killed them with a sword. And she says immediately when she hears about the strong, powerful prophetic spirit, she says, so may the gods do to me and more also if I don't make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. She sends this message to Elijah. This spirit is so strong, so demonic that when Elijah heard about her threat, this man of God who wasn't afraid of anything, listen what he does. He was afraid, he arose, and ran for his life. That's Elijah. So the Jezebel spirit usually marries a wimpy, spineless husband, and they can control through manipulation. How do I know this to be true? If you go back and read what happened here, before she makes this threat, there's a story which sort of brings this to light. King Ahab, who was the king, went to a farmer and asked for his property. Now, as the king, he could just take the property. And when he went to this man by the name of Naboth, I think I'm saying that right, Naboth said, "The Lord forbid that I should give you my inheritance as the inheritance from my father." And so Ahab, instead of rising up and being an authoritative figure, even though this was something wrong, a king could do this, he just went home. He was vexed. He was pouting. And when he got home, his wife says to him, listen to this, his wife came to him and says, "Why is your spirit so vexed and you're eating no food?" And here's what he says. He says, "Because I spoke to Naboth, and I said, 'Naboth, give me your vineyard for money, or else if it pleases you, maybe I'll give you another vineyard.' And he said to me, he says, 'I will not give you my vineyard.' So I got in my thing and I went home. The bad man spoke bad words to me." Jezebel said to him, "Do you not govern Israel? Are you the king?" But instead of encouraging him to have a spine and go back to Naboth and demand the property, she says, "Arise, eat, let your heart be cheerful, for I will give you the vineyard." "My little husband, oh, the bad man spoke mean words." She has this man totally under the control. And by the way, the Jezebel spirit starts early. And I'm not talking about helicopter moms here, necessarily. But let me just say this. Men who get overly attached to their moms and never become men, their wives suffer. I like this. You know, mock me if you want, but I feel a connection with my mom. She's probably the unbiblical cord, right? It's unbiblical. Why? Because we know that a man, a real man, will rise up, he'll leave his father, he'll leave his mother, he'll cleave to his wife. He won't be a mama's boy. And but this is a letter written by a Jezebel spirit to a girl who wants to date the son of a Jezebel mother. "Know that I'm crazier than you can ever be. I know the game. Don't try to play with my boy or I will crush you." That's a Jezebel spirit right there. Wrapped in mommy's apron strings. And by the way, the reason the Catholic Church is in its mess right now is because it just took every mama's boy that wanted to be a minister. Did not take men, took boys. The French call them pelors. They are men who never grew up, who feel more comfortable in the company of children. Why? Because they are children. Don't hate me because I'm telling you the truth. This controlling spirit does not want a man to become a man and does not want a man to become a true husband. It's unhealthy. If a guy at the day of his wedding is looking at his mother and saying, "Do I, Mom?" you know you're in trouble. Why this is such an evil thing is because once God sets up authority, once God said, "This is my plan," and once the spirit works against it, listen to me, this is witchcraft. Rebellion against God's plan is like witchcraft, and every demon comes in. Well, let me just tell you real quickly what Jezebel does to get this property. First of all, she forges his name. She takes a letterhead, puts his name on it, seals it with his seal. She impersonates his authority, which is big. She then sends the letter to the elders and to the leaders. She's going to bring it down. She's manipulating everything from behind the scenes. And you remember the story of how Herodias figured out a plan to get John the Baptist's head on a platter. This is her methodology. I will figure out a way to bring down leaders, and then I will gloat in my victory. So what Jezebel does is she finds two worthless men who came and they sat in opposition to this godly man. By the way, false accusations, right? She got two men to bear witness against this other man. These worthless men brought charges against him. They're in the presence of the people, and they basically said, listen, Naboth has cursed God and he's cursed the king. That's a lie. That's pure fabrication. But the people believe it because it was two men who said it, worthless men. And so they took him out and they stoned him. And then she went back home and she says, I got the property for you. That's the Jezebel spirit. Remember in the book of Revelations, I have this against the church. You tolerate it. You tolerate this woman being a prophetess. You tolerate her being a teacher. You tolerate her seducing men. No. So how do we defeat Jezebel? I'm going to close with this. How do you defeat this Jezebel spirit? Remember, Paul says, you've got to be strong. You've got to stand up against the schemes of the devil. You've got to recognize you're dealing with cosmic powers. And the first weapon you have is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the first thing you need to know is that you've got to get some power. Remember Peter, when he gets this revelation from heaven, God says, I'm going to build my church upon these kinds of revelations, and hell cannot prevail against my word. This is what Elijah said about what was going to happen to Jezebel before it happened. But he said, listen, in the territory of Jezreel, the dogs shall eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the corpse of Jezebel shall be as dung on the face of the field in the territory of Jezreel, so that no one can say this is Jezebel. In other words, her face is going to be torn off. Her face is going to be somehow ripped off. And so how did this eventually happen? I'm just going to tell you the story as quickly as I can. It took an anointed man who had power as a king, but was a real anointed man. I'll use the word anointed. The word of the Lord came to this king, his name was Jehu, came to him and it said, I anoint you king over the people of the Lord, over Israel. And the first order of business was this: you shall strike down the house of Ahab your master, so that I may bring avenge on what? Jezebel and the blood of my servant, the prophets. She hated prophets. She brought down this poor innocent man. And the first thing this anointed king was told to do is you go and get her.
Wow.
Jehu, when he shows up where she's staying in Jezreel, he comes there and immediately she goes into her flattery mode. She paints her face. She's going to look as pretty as she can possibly look. She's going to adorn her eyes. She's going to put something on her head. She's going to play the part. She thinks that she's going to seduce this king just like she's seduced every other man. But she's got another thing coming. She looks down and she flatters Jehu by saying, is it peace, Zerim, murderer of your master? And by the way, this is like saying, you are the mighty warrior. I respect you. You are a true man of God. You take down the enemies. She's flattering him now. And he blows off the flattery, and here's what he does. He lifts up his face to the window, and he simply says this: who is on the side of the anointed authority? Two eunuchs. Actually, three eunuchs. who really aren't persuaded by her beauty or her charm. They look out at him, they pick her up, they throw her down to the ground. They throw her out the window. That's how she dies. Wow. Remember how Lucifer, when he wanted to take a higher seat, usurp authority, why did he do it? Listen, it says because of his beauty. It says because of your beauty, you were corrupted. Your own wisdom. And then God says, I will cast you to the ground. I will expose you before kings. This is what God does with the Antichrist. This is what God does with the Jezebel spirit. So just to make a matter real quick, this king Jehu, he feels he wants to do the respectable thing. So he says, well, why don't we bury her? Since she is the daughter of a king, why don't we bury her? So they went out to bury her. And when they went to bury her, they found the corpse of Jezebel, and they found her with dung on her face. Remember what it said? Remember what the prophet said? There was dung on her face. And I guess, whether it was pigs or whatever, they basically ate the dung and basically chewed her face off. That's the way the story ends. It says, but when we went to bury her, we found there was nothing more than her skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. That's it. Her fate was the same as the fate of Lucifer. The word of God always wins over rebellion. The word of God always wins over witchcraft. So let me just say this in closing. How do you defeat this Jezebel spirit? First of all, you have to have spiritual discernment. Secondly, you have to make sure that the church is in biblical order. You're in biblical order. Everything is in biblical order. And you do not tolerate this unrepentant spirit of Jezebel. Then you fearlessly, directly confront with the word of God and with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's the way you defeat it. If a woman submits to her husband, she is exalted. When a man submits to any other man, he is exalted. When we submit to one another, we are exalted. That is what happens to the Proverbs 31 woman. She is exalted. She is exalted in the natural life. She is exalted in the spiritual life. She is exalted in her family. She is exalted with her husband. She is exalted in the community. She is completely exalted. The woman who desires to overthrow her husband is the one who gets overthrown. She is the one who does not submit. She is under the control of Jezebel. So what should we do? Women, I challenge you under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, become Proverbs 31 women. Doesn't mean you have to go out and buy a field. It just means you need to become the strongest spiritual woman you can be. And men, we need to operate under the spirit of Elijah. We need to challenge every wicked spirit that comes against the church. Heavenly Father, I pray. I pray for myself. I pray for the women in this church who I know. I don't believe there's any exceptions, that I know they are Proverbs 31, godly, strong women. And they hate the Jezebel spirit as much as anyone. And so, Father, I pray as a church we will fight against every spirit that tries to come against the authority that is in the church. Father, I believe we are in the days of Elijah. I believe before Jesus comes back, the spirit of Elijah will come again. But it will not come on one person. He will come upon the whole church. So I want the church to be at this place. This is the song I wanted to play at the end, but maybe I won't play this. Maybe I won't. If you need personal prayer of any sort, if you need to be prayed for, and by the way, if you're up against a Jezebel spirit, you probably need prayer. Whether you're a woman or a man, if you're up against a Jezebel spirit, you need prayer. If you are far away from God today, today's the day to come back underneath that covering of His Spirit. And Father, I speak against the spirit of Jezebel, not only in this church, but in Faith Assembly and every other biblical church in this area. I speak against that spirit of Jezebel in the name of Jesus. And by the authority that is vested in the church, we bring down that spirit. We destroy that spirit. Father, we ask that your word and your spirit would be released against every spirit of Jezebel in Jesus' name. Especially in this body, but also in all the bodies that are closely connected to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from River Mountain Church. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.